Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Nun Beis. I'm going to have to say a shorter shiur today. I apologize, I have to give a shiur in Bell Harbor this morning, so I have to, apparently it takes a half hour to get there. So we left off on the bottom of daf Nun Aleph and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avi Khan in honor of Alicia Graf for giving all of the daf Yomi shiurim while I was gone, and gratitude to Alicia for doing that, and we appreciate it very much. Today we're going to discuss the following four topics. First, the Gemara is going to discuss what sort of punishment you give a person from Eretz Yisrael who does melacha on Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Lar. It's a violation of the Minhag HaMakom. Since we've been discussing Minhag HaMakom, someone comes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lar and he does melacha, so what sort of onus does he get? Second, Rabbi Yehuda has a cryptic statement in the Mishnah that we learned about somebody who brings fruits of Shemitah from one place to another. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what in the world he meant by that cryptic statement. We're going to have six possibilities of what he meant by that. That's the bulk of the daf. And the third topic, the Gemara is going to discuss some details of the laws of Biur, of Perus of Shemitah, including the division of Eretz Yisrael into three regions when it comes to the mitzvah of Biur, as well as the machlokas, whether produce that was brought outside Eretz Yisrael needs to be brought back in order to do the mitzvah of Biur dafka in Eretz Yisrael, or the mitzvah of Biur could just be done wherever you are. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have a discussion of how Rabbi Eloi was permitted to cut down a palm tree during the Shemitah year, if after all it's destroying the fruits on the tree, and one is not allowed to destroy fruits of Shemitah. So let us pick up again on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We are at two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Safa l'Rabbi Abba, Kigon Anan, the Adin b'Kaviyah D'Yarchi. So someone like me, who's very familiar with the Kaviyah D'Yarchi, who knows when Rosh Chodesh really was, and therefore which day of Yontif is really Yontif. So I shouldn't have to worry about a Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios. B'Yishuv Lo Avinna M'Pnei Shinui Machlokas. So I understand when I go into a place where they keep Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios, I cannot do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios because I can't do differently than everybody else. Everyone else has a minag not to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios. I have to conform to the minag HaMakom. But midbar mai, but what's going to be the din in the midbar? What about when I'm not in the yishuv, when I'm all alone somewhere in the middle of a desert? So what's going to be the halacha? So Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Ravami, be yishuv asur, but midbar mutter. Ravami said that in the yishuv it's asur, in the midbar it's mutter. If you're in a residential area where there are people that are observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, you certainly cannot do malacha, but if you're all by yourself in the middle of nowhere, you're allowed to do malacha. Rav Nassim bar Asya, Azlami Bei Rav, actually, before we get to that, what exactly was the situation over here where Rav Safra knew about the Kaviyah D'Yarcha and he went to a place where they didn't know about the Kaviyah D'Yarcha? What does that mean exactly? So Tosis points out it does not mean that Rav Safra knew how to do the cheshbonos by looking at the moon and figuring out the how to do the cheshbonos based on the calendar, figure out the Sod HaIbur. That's not what we're talking about, that Rav Safra was an expert in figuring out the Sod HaIbur and nobody else was an expert in figuring out the Sod HaIbur. He says, because in Bnei Bavel, in Bavel, we all know the Sod HaIbur by now. We know how to set up the calendar. We know exactly when Yom Tov is really supposed to be and when Yom Tov is not really supposed to be. So that could not have been what was actually happening over here. Rather, Tosu suggests, Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Shoyi B'makom Sheshluchei Bezen Magin, it means he lived in a place where the Shluchei Bezin used to get to. So since his hometown was a place where the Shluchei Bezin used to get to, his hometown minhag was only to keep one day of Yom Tov, was not to have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So when he visited somewhere that they kept Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, what should he do? What should he do when he's not yet quite in town yet, when he's still all alone in a place where they keep Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios? That's how Tosfos understands the case. The problem is, all the Achronim ask the Kasha, the Mashal, the Pnei Yeshua, everyone asks, well, wait a second. If he comes from a place where there are Yadina B'Kviyah D'Yarcha, which means the Shluchei Bezin are Magiyim L'Sham, and then he goes to a place where the Shluchei Bezin were not Magiyah, well, if he had time to get to the place in time for Yantav where Shluchei Bezin are not Magiyah, why didn't the Shluchei Bezin have time to get there? Meaning, if he knew what the Kviyah D'Yarcha was, and he was able to, based on the Shluchei Bezin, and he was able to get there to this other town, so why didn't this other town know about when Rosh Chodesh really is and when Yom Tov really is? So the Achronim have a variety of different suggestions. Pnei Yeshua suggests that in the month that Rav Safra was in the Makom where the Shluchei Bezin did not get, and the place didn't know about the Kviyas HaChodesh, and they only knew about it based on the Cheshbon. They didn't know about it from Shulchan Beis Din, but meaning Enochinami, the people, the place where he went to knew when Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be, but only based on the calendar. They didn't know based on Shulchan Beis Din. So Rav Safra's question was that I know based on Shluchei Beis Din, I'm going to a place which also knows, but not based on Shluchei Beis Din. They only know based on the Kviyas HaChodesh. This month I also only know based on the Kviyas HaChodesh because I'm not home. But do I keep my minhag of only one day, which is where I come from? So the Pnei Yeshua also suggests that maybe the difference between Tishrei and Nisan, this you find a lot in the Rishonim, that Shluchei Beis Din were able to get a lot further during Nisan than they were during Tishrei. The Yantif is 2 weeks into each month, is on the 15th day of each month, but Tishrei, much of the Shulchei Beis were much more limited. They couldn't travel the first 2 days because it was Rosh Hashanah, and they couldn't travel in Yom Kippur, so they were not able to get nearly as far. So in a place where Shulchei Beis only got there during the month of Nisan, didn't get there during the month of Tishrei, they still had to keep Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios both on Pesach and on Sukkot. So it could be that we're talking about such a makom, and it was just you just have to figure out which yantif that we were actually referring to. So anyway, so that was the shaila. Now the fact that we discussed this in terms of minhag makom, the whole discussion over here is does he have to conform to the minhag of the place that he came from? So Rav Eliashiv writes in Kovitz Tshuvas, in the third volume of Kovitz Tshuvas, from the fact that we discussed this in terms of chumrei makom shahalach l'sham, so it's muchach that the dinim of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios are not totally in being in Chutz Laaretz. It's totally in Minhag HaMakom. Meaning, because if it were totally in being in Chutz Laaretz, we should have to say that a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's in a Makom that Shluchei Beis Din did not get to, so would be Chayv Meikar Adin to be no Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, because he got to a place where Shluchei Beis Din don't get to. He's in Chutz Laaretz. He's beyond that border. So Meikar Adin he has to observe the Yom Tov. So he says, you see that it's not a din in being in that location. And therefore, says Rav Eliashiv, you have to say that since he came to from a place where the Noeg Yom Echad, and he still didn't get Liyishuv, he still didn't arrive in the community, and we're Bekiyin Bekiyis HaChodesh, he still keeps the Minhag HaMakom that he came from. Even though right now he's in Chutz La'aretz. As long as he's in a place where there are no Jews, Rav Eliashiv says, Lehalach L'maisa. Let's say a person is traveling and he's stuck in a town that there are no Jews anywhere near him, that there's no Jewish community whatsoever. So what should he do? If he's a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's traveling, didn't get to a town that has an actual community, so should he observe 2 days of Yantiv because he's in Chutz La'aretz now, so maybe he should observe 2 days of Yantiv, or no? So Rav Eliashiv, according to this, it would seem he should not observe 2 days of Yantiv. He should only observe 1 day of Yantiv, because this is tali in minhag of the place that you came from, not tali in your location on this earth. This is in stark contrast to the approach of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav suggests that there's a certain Kedusha that's yored into the world in Chutz La'aretz on Yom Tov Sheni, that there's an actual Kedusha of Yom Tov Sheni, and because of the actual Kedusha of Yom Tov Sheni, that's what's the Mechayev of observing Yantiv on Yom Tov Sheni. So if you're in Chutz La'aretz, there is Kedusha Sayom on Yom Tov Sheni, and you therefore have to observe Yantiv. So one Nafkamina would be that rare case where a person is traveling and he's in a place where there's no Jewish community whatsoever. Another Nafkamina might be, well, how should he daven? Should he daven Yantiv davening, or should he daven a weekday davening? If you say that it's really tali in the minhag it's all tali in minhag hamakom, it's not tali in the place really, it's tali just in what his own minhag is, the chumrei makom shahalach misham and shahalach lisham, so then really it's not yantiv for him, so you should really daven a weekday davening guy who comes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. It's just he has to observe an isra malacha so as not to do different than everybody else, but it's not really yantiv for him. But if you're going to say that there's a kedusha in that place, a kedusha of Yom Tov Sheni, so then he's going to have to observe Yantiv. He's going to have to even say the Yantiv davening in the place that he is. That seems to be the machlokas between Rav Eliashiv and the Shulchan Aruch HaRad. Sometimes Halach Lemaisa of Shlomo Zalman in Milchas Shlomo says that that it's mekubal b'kol olam that a Ben Eretz Yisrael in the Chutz La'aretz and Yom Tov Sheni is mispal tefilas chol, and he says that's been the minhag since the days of the Gaonim. You daven a weekday tefillah, not like Shulchan Aruch HaRad. You daven a weekday tefillah on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael that happens to find himself in Chutz Laaretz for Yom Tov. Says Gemara Vayta. Now three lines from the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Rav Nasan Bar Asya Azlami Bei Rav L'Pumadis. Rav Nasan Bar Asya went from Bei Rav to Pumadis of Yom Tov Sheni Shalat Seres on the second day of Shavuos. So Shamte Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef put him in a Cherim. Amr Le Abayu L'Nagdei Mar Nagidi. Why don't you give him Malkus also for violating the Yisr of Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golios, traveling in Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golios? Why do you only do a Shamta? Do worse. Put him in, give him a Malkus. Amr Le Adif Avdile. What do you mean? I did the more severe of the two. To Bamar Rava Mimnu Anagida De Barbe Rava Lo Mimnu Ashamta. That in Eretz Yisrael they were Mimnu Anagida. So if a Talmud was went off the derech, they would get together to give him Malkus and not to put him in a Cherim, because Cherim is too chamur, and they wanted to be choshish for the Kavod HaTorah. So you see that Cherim is more chamur than Ashamta is more chamur than giving Malkus. So I did the worst thing. Don't tell me that I should have given him Malkus. I really gave it to him over the head. So Shamta really is a Cherim in general is really a curse that a person should die. It's not just that you can't do business with the person, you shouldn't give him an aliyah, whatever. It's a curse that he should die and everyone stays away from him. But the Iker, it's a curse that he should die. So it's a pretty severe thing. That's why they're minhagi avelus by Shamta and by Cherim. The Gemara tells us in the Gemara in the Tanna Shalach Nai Sugya that he was put, the Reb Lazer removed his shoes. Why? He was knowing minhagi avelus when he was put in Cherim. It's a very serious thing. So ikadamri nagde Rav Yosef. Others say no. The way the story happened was that he gave him Malkus. Samle Abaye and Yishamti Mar. The Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu minadin al Shnei Yom Tov Mishal Golias. So you should have put him in Cherim because Rav and Shmuel both said that you're supposed to give a Cherim over the Yom Tov Sheni. So I'm lay hani mili in Ishti Alma. Hachat sur mid Rabbanon hu detav le avdi de bima rav mimnu an agdasa de bar be rav velo mimnu a shamta. He says, no, I wanted to be easier on him. Meaning, eno chinami, shamta is the worst thing to do, but I wanted to be easier on him because he's a Talmud Chacham. For a Talmud Chacham, we take it a little bit easier. We're not going to give him the more severe of the two penalties. Okay, now the question, what is exactly did he do? Rav Nasan Bar Asya, he went from Pumadisa on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Atzeres. So Minchas Chinuch asks the question, well, how could Rav Nasan, this is Rav Nasan Bar Asya, presumably an Amora, how could be Mizalzel in Yom Tov Sheni to such an extent? Bismano, at the time that he lived, they were already they were still being Makadish al Pia Re'ia. Yom Tov Sheni was the same thing as Yom Tov Rishon. It was a Sveka Diyoma. They really didn't know which day was Yantiv. So how could it be Mizalzel so much in Yantiv? It's not Stam like we have a Yom Tov Sheni where we really know which day is the real Yantiv, is the first day, and we just keep Yom Tov Sheni, Minigav Sheni, Biyadim. They really didn't know. It was an actual Sveka Diyoma, asked Milchas Chinuch. So Milchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Aleph is very bothered by what Rabbi Nasan was thinking. So he suggests, or some of the Achronim suggest, Rav Nasan Bar Asya thought that Yom Tov Sheni, which is only the Rabbanan, they were never gozer on Tchum, because Tchum is only a din to Rabbanan. But still then, why Yom Tov Sheni more than Yom Tov Rishon, who's an equal Sveka Diyoma? So Minchas Chinuch suggests that Rav Nasan lived in a place that the Shluchei Nisan, is what we referred to before, that there's a difference when the Shluchei Nisan get to a place and the Shluchei Tishrei get to a place. He must have lived in a place where the Shluchei Nisan would arrive, but the Shluchei Tishrei would not arrive in time. And we're talking about Atzarta, we're talking about Shavuos. So he knew which day was really the first day of Pesach, and which day was really Shavuos, because Shavuos is determined by Pesach. So that he was well aware of. They still had to observe Shnei Yamim Tovim, because the Shluchei Tishrei wouldn't get there by Sukkot, and you didn't split it. You didn't have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios on Sukkot and not on Pesach. So their Minhag HaMakom was that they followed 2 days of Yantif on Pesach also, because they had to on Sukkot. So they just kept everything even. So he knew which day was really Yom Tov Rishon, which day was really Yom Tov Sheni, when it came to the Yom Tov of Pesach, and certainly when it came to the Yom Tov of Shavuos as well. And that's why he was a little more makel in terms of the traveling on the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Says Gemara Vayter now, the Mishnah had a cryptic line. Kayotze ba hamolich peros shviyas. The Mishnah had said that somebody who brings Shemitah fruits from one place to another also has to treat them with the stringencies of both places. Just like when you keep minhagim of Erev Pesach, of Natu Malach on Erev Pesach, you take the chumras of the place that you came from, the place that you're going to. When you have Shemitah fruits, you have to treat the Shemitah fruits with the chumras of the place that you're coming from and the place that you're going to. So the Gemara is going to have six possibilities of. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, "Seva velecha afata." Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, you could always say you go out and also bring for yourself." Now, what in the world does that mean? What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says, "Seva velecha afata"? You can go out and bring for yourself. So Gemara is going to have six possibilities. The first one, the Gemara doesn't spell out, but it's just the pashut reading of the Mishnah, which is that we assume that he means that if the fruits are still available in his town of origin, the place where he came from, he can eat them in his current town, because the other townspeople, if they want, they can also go to his original town, his town of origin, and get similar fruits. I mean, the halacha is, as long as the fruits are still available in the field, I'm allowed to eat the Shemitah produce. Once the fruits are no longer available, l'chayim and asada, once they're called l'chayim and asada, they're no longer available out in the field, then I'm no longer allowed to eat it. So I go from point A to point B. In point A, they're still available. They're still out there in the fields. So these fruits are perfectly fine in point A. But now I'm in point B, I'm in city B, and they're not available in city B. So am I allowed to eat these fruits that I brought with me on the road? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Seva ve'lecha afata. You can tell the other people in town B, if you want to eat such fruits, no problem. Go to town A, pick up some fruits, and you can bring them here too. So if you want to eat some fruits, you'd be allowed to also. You just can't eat fruits from here. But he is allowed to eat the fruits that he brought with him from his hometown. That's the Pashut reading of the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, V'lesei the Rabbi Yehuda haditna nosnav chumre makam shalatsim misham chumre makam shalach l'sham. But then what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? Rabbi Yehuda saying you don't have to observe the chumras of the local place. You're coming to a place where it's no longer available for the chayos in the field. And therefore it should be aser, because you should have to observe the chumras of the place that you're going to. So I'm Rav Shisha Brei Ravidi, Milsafri to come Rav Yehuda. So Rav Shisha Brei Ravidi says no. Possibility number two of what the Mishnah means, and that's as follows. V'achi kamar. Omi makom shalokalu, l'makom shalokalu. If you go from a place where it's still available in the field to another place where it's still available in the field, v'shama shakalu b'makomo. And then when you're at point B where it's still available in the field, you hear that in point A where you came from, it's no longer available in the field. So is there a chiyuv biur on these fruits because where they came from, there would still be a chiyuv biur? So says the Tanakama, chayiv levayir. You need to be mevar these fruits because where you came from and where these fruits came from, there was a chiyuv biur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Seva velecha afata mehecha da'esinu v'alo kaluluhu. Rabbi Yehuda saying that he doesn't have to do biur because he could tell people from his hometown who are chayiv to do biur to bring their produce to this town just like he did. And then they won't have to do biur, meaning you're in a different situation than I'm in. You're still home and therefore you have a chiyuv biur. But if you would have taken your fruits and gone on the road like I did and ended up in town B, so you wouldn't have to do biur either. So therefore, you don't have to do biur. That's the second possible explanation of the Mishnah. Says Gemara, "L'meimid Rabbi Yehuda l'kula ka'amar." Wait a second. That would mean that Rabbi Yehuda is saying l'kula, that the Tanakama holds that you're chayev to do biur in the town that you are. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Nah, you don't have to do biur. You brought fruits from town A to town B. You're not chayev to do biur. If the other people in town A want to avoid biur, they can bring their fruits to town B also." But Rabbi Yehuda saying l'kula, and Rabbi Elazar l'am Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra. We have a tradition from Rabbi Elazar that Rabbi Yehuda saying l'chumra in our Mishnah, that he's not saying l'kula. So that can't be pshat in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, third possible pshat in the Mishnah. Ella, epuch. Eino chayev levayer, Rabbi Yehuda omer tseva avelecha afata mecha daisinu v'kalaluhu. The case is the same as the case we just said, but the opinions are reversed. Tanakama does not require beer, and Rabbi Yehuda does require beer, because the other people from his town, from point A, from town A, can tell him that if he can go out and get more from the fields that he got this produce from, he wouldn't have to do beer. But ha'kalaluhu, there are no more fruits available in those fields. Meaning they can say to him, you have to do biur because look where you got these fruits from. Wherever you got them from, they're not there anymore. They're not available in the fields anymore. And mele, you're chayiv to do biur, even though in the place where you are right now, the fruits are still available. So now the Gemara suggests possibility number four. But we don't reject possibility number three, we just go on to possibility number four. Abaye Yomar Liolam Kidaktani. Abaye says that really, the case is that the fruits were brought from a place that they're still available in the field to a place that they're not available. And but, v'achikamar, Omi makum shalokalu, a place where they're still available, the makum shakalu, to a place where they're not available anymore, and therefore there should be a chiyuv biur. But then v'chziran the makoman, you bring them back to point A where they're still available in the field. Now, how do you view this? Do we say, well, since these fruits made it to point B, so as soon as they cross that border into point B, so now there's a chiyuv biur that sets in, and that chiyuv biur can never go away because once there's a chiyuv biur that's chal on the fruits, they stay? Or do we say, no, the fruits now came back to where they came from, and where they came from, there are still fruits available in the field, so maybe there's no chiyuv biur. So v'chziran the makoman v'adayin lo kalu eino chayev levayir. Tanakama says no chiyuv biur. He got these fruits from here and in the, from point A, from city A, and in city A they're still available in the field, so there's no chiyuv biur. Rabbi Yehuda omer tseva ve'lucha afata meheicha daisinu v'kalu luhu. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that once they were brought to a place that they're no longer available, they become chayiv in biur. That's the point of Rabbi Yehuda. So mask Rav Ashi, the Rabbi Yehuda ato agave de chamer kaltinu. So Rav Ashi says that doesn't make any sense because Rav Ashi rejects it because it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Yehuda to say that the fruits are forever considered to belong to the second town just because they were brought there for a short while. They happened to go on the back of a donkey to town B for a minute, so that means that they're considered fruits of town B. Why? They were picked in town A. They're right now they're in town A. They grew in town A. Their whole yichus is town A. Why should they be considered to belong to town B just because they spent a few minutes on the back of a donkey in town B? It doesn't make any sense. So he rejects the shita of Abaye. So the Gemara suggests a fifth possibility. Elam Rav Ashi b'plukta dahani tanoi. The machlokas tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is actually the same as a different machlokas tanoim. Ditnan, we have a mission that discusses the following. Hakovei shloshe kvashin b'chavis achas. Let's say a person is pickling several vegetables in the same jar, different types of vegetables in the same jar, and then some of those vegetables, but not all of them, are kala l'chayim in asada, are no longer available in the field. Is there a chiyuv biur on, well, there are three possibilities. Is there no chiyuv biur because the entire mixture is still available, some of this mixture is still available l'chayim in asada, some of these vegetables in this jar are still available l'chayim in asada? Is there a chiyuv biur on everything because some of them are no longer available l'chayim in asada? Or do we say, well, those vegetables that are being pickled over here that are still available are not going to have a chiyuv biur. Those that are not available, l'chayim in asada, do have a chiyuv biur. So three-way machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Lazar amar ochlin ala rishon. Rabbi Lazar says, as long as Rabbi Lazar holds that as long as one of them is still available in the field, so that's good enough. Rabbi Yeshua omer afala achron, that even on the last one that's available, I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar says that Rabbi Yeshua holds that if a person has three types of vegetables being pickled in a jar, he can eat all of them as long as even one of them is still available in the field. Rabbi Lazar says as long as one of them is no longer available, he can't eat any of them. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer kol shekol amino min asada yivar amino min achavis v'alacha kedvarav. And Rabbi Gamliel says a third possibility, which is probably what we would have assumed, that whichever vegetables are no longer available in the field, those are the vegetables you can no longer eat. Those are the ones that are chayiv in beer. Whichever vegetables are still available in the field, those are not chayiv in beer. That it goes vegetable by vegetable. So what are we suggesting? The Tanakama holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that if you have three types of vegetables being pickled in a single jar, you can eat all of them as long as even one of them is still available in the field. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Gamliel. You can only eat the particular type of vegetable that's still available in the field and not the others. That's the Machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. That's the Tseva Velucha Afata of Rabbi Yehuda. Whatever you could bring from the field, you're allowed to eat. Whatever you can't bring from the field, you're not allowed to eat. Ravina Amar, final suggestion of what's going on in our Mishnah. Ravina Amar b'plukta dahani tanai. The Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda conforms with the Machlokas in a different Mishnah. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Ochlin b'tmarin achi yichla ha'achron shebetzar. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar, ochlin al shalbeina kipin ve'in ochlin al shalbeina shitzin. What does it mean that it's kala l'chaya min asada, that the fruits are no longer available to the chaya out in the field? What if the fruits are no longer growing in their normal place, but there are still some dates that are stuck between the thorns of a palm tree? That all the other dates are gone, but the ones that are stuck between the thorns of the palm tree are still there. Do we assume that's called kala l'chaya min asada? It would be very difficult for the animals to access such dates out in the field. So Ravina suggests Tanakama holds like the Tanakama of this Mishnah, who says that the mitzvah's biur only begins when all dates, even the ones that are stuck between the thorns of a palm tree, when all of the dates are gone, that's when you have a mitzvah's biur. As long as there's anything out there, there's no mitzvah's biur. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that the mitzvah's biur begins even when the dates are still available between the thorns, because animals won't be able to access those dates, and therefore it's not considered to still be available, even though they're physically present in the field, but they're in a spot where no animal is ever going to be able to get to it. So that's the machlokas. At what point the mitzvah's biur actually begins? But that's the discussion of the mitzvah's biur as it relates to the comment of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Six possibilities, the first two we reject, and then the final four we sort of accept. The fourth one was somewhat questioned, but those are the possibilities of what he might have meant in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss several issues relating to the mitzvah's biur. Tanan Asam, we have a Mishnah. Shalosh haratzos l'biur. There are three lands when it comes to the mitzvah of biur. Yehuda, Ve'ever Yarden, Ve'Galil. There's Yehuda, there's Ever Yarden, there's Galil. And in each of these lands, there are three subcategories of lands. There are different types of areas within each of these lands, meaning that in each of these lands, you have different regions that allow for fruits to last. For different types of fruits to last for either a longer or shorter period of time, based on whether you're in a mountainous area, whether you're in a flat land, something like that. So each of these three regions of Eretz Yisrael have these three other aratzos. Why do we say shalosh aratzos? Meaning, once we said that there are three basic regions, and each of the regions has three subcategories, so why don't we just say that there are nine? And there are nine lands in Eretz Yisrael when it comes to the mitzvah of beer. That there, if you want to know what's called kol l'chayim in asada, that whenever in your area it's kol l'chayim in asada, even though it's still available in other areas, you have a mitzvah's biur. But we just pointed out that there are nine lands, not three. So why does it say shalosh aratzos? So the Gemara says no. In each of these three general regions, the three basic regions, once it's kol l'chayim in asada, it's no longer available for animals in the field, I have a chiyuv biur in my region, even if it's only available to chayos in the mountainous region and I live in the flatlands. Even if it's only available in a different type of area, within the three basic regions, that's how we really determine the din of biur. That's at least how Rashi and the Rambam read our Gemara, that the subcategories have no nafkamina lahalacha. That the only thing that really matters is Ever Yarden, Galil, Yehuda. Those are the three regions. If I live in Ever Yarden and there's no longer, and I have a red pepper, and there's no longer red peppers available anywhere in Ever Yarden, even though they might be still available in Galil, I have a chiyuv biur already on my red peppers. That's the din. It has nothing to do with where in Ever Yarden I live. It's really just it's completely dependent on Ever Yarden, Yehuda, and Galil. So it says Mar Minani Mili, Amr of Cham Barukva, Amr of Yosef Rachanina, Amr Kra. So long as the chaya, the wild beast, is able to eat from these fruits in the field, so you're allowed to feed it to your behema in your house. Once it's no longer available for the chaya in the field, so then it's no longer. Then you have to make it no longer available to your behema and the bayis. You need to be mevayer it from the bayis. Ugamiri, and we have a tradition. The ein chaya shab Yehuda gedela al perish shab Galil. The ein chaya shab Galil gedela al perish shab Yehuda. That animals from one region cannot survive on the fruits and vegetables from the other, and therefore we because it's talui the mitzvah. Beer is totally on availability to the chayos, and we know the chayos in Yehuda can't live on the peros in Galil, so Mela, when it's no longer available in Yehuda, so that's it. Now I have a chiyuv biur in Yehuda. I don't care that it's still available in Galil. My chayos here in Yehuda, or the chayos that live here in Yehuda, can't be helped by the peros in Galil or by the peros in Ever Yarden. So since they can't be helped by them, Memele the Chiyuv of Beer is totally in the region alone, and that is it. It's totally completely on the region that one lives in. Period. Tanu Rabbanan, Perush Yatzu Meretz Yisrael l'Chutz La'aretz. If Perush left Eretz Yisrael and went to Chutz La'aretz, Misparin b'kol makom shehein. So wherever you are, you do beer. A lot of times they export bottles of wine that are made in Israel, and the wine is made with Shemitah wine. If they didn't do the mitzvah of beer on the Shemitah wine, so there are a whole bunch of issues with Shemitah wine. You're not allowed to do schora with Perush of Shemitah. You're not allowed to do business with Shemitah fruits. So these wine companies, the winemakers, probably aren't doing it just because they want to do the great chesed of providing wine for all the Jews and chutzlars. When you go into the store, you can't say, okay, I'll take that wine for free, and I'll take that wine for free, because it's Shemitah wine. So it's a big issue of why, how in the world they're allowed to export and do business with Shemitah wine. Okay, but that's a halbatzar, that's one issue. But the other issue is, what do you do about the mitzvah of biur? So once it's in chutzlaretz, can we still do a mitzvah of biur in chutzlaretz? This is the shayla. So perish yasu meretz yisrael l'chutzlaretz, misfarim b'kol makom shein. Tanakama says, yeah, wherever you are, you do the mitzvah of biur, that's fine. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer yachzru l'mekom en v'yisparu mishum shnemer ba'artzucha. He says, no, you got to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael and do the biur there, because the pasuk says ba'artzucha. It's got to be in Eretz Yisrael. So frankly, Gemara ha'apikte, but we already used ba'artzucha to teach me about the three regions for the mitzvah of biur. How can you use ba'artzucha to teach me that the mitzvah of biur has to dafka be done in Eretz Yisrael? So karibe ba'eretz ba'artzucha. One drash is from the word ba'eretz, and the other is from the extra chaf ba'artzucha. Inami me'asher ba'artzucha, or maybe the word asher that's added in. There's some room for two drashas to be made from that word. Rav Safra nafak me Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, hava b'adei garba d'chamra d'shriyas. Rav Safra traveled from Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, and he had a bottle of wine with him. He had a jug of wine with him, of Shemitah wine. Lava b'adei Rav Huna b'rei Rav Ika v'Rav Kana. Rav Huna b'rei Rav Ika and Rav Kana were traveling together with him. Amar lahu, so he said to them, Ika d'shmi'ele minei d'Rabbi Avoh alach Rav Shimon ben Elazar alo. Anyone know how we paskin in this machlokas in the Braisa, whether you're allowed to do beer or wherever you are, or you have to do beer dafka in Eretz Yisrael? If someone could help me out and tell me how to paskin over here, I'd be very grateful. So Amar Lei Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, oh, I know how Rabbi Avoh said. Hachi Amar Rabbi Avohu, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Avohu said that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Amar Lei Rav Huna, right? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was one that was the one who said that you have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. Amar Lei Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Ika. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Ika said, no, that's not what he said. Hachi Amar Rabbi Avohu. Ain halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Avohu said that halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and that you could do beer wherever you are. That you could do beer wherever you are. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. We don't pass that way. So which one should he listen to? They both reported in the name of Rabbi Avohu opposite statements. So I'm Rav Safra Nekot HaKlala to Rav Huna Biyadcha. He says when Rav Huna says something from Rabbi Avohu, you always got to listen to Rav Huna. Did Dayik v'Gamer Shmeitz? He was so careful to get exactly right, to get everything that his Rebbe said exactly right, just like Rachva used to do in Pumbadisa. Where do we know that Rachva was so careful to get everything exactly right? Because Rachva said, Amar Rav Yehuda, the name Rav Yehuda, Harabai Stav Kafel Haya. Stav Lefnimi Stav. There was a double ledge around the Harabais. So we see that Rachva said it exactly right, exactly in the name of his Rebbe. How do you see from there that he said exactly right in the name of his Rebbe? Big machlokas Rishonim. What exactly did he say that so rings true that he must have said in the name of his Rebbe? So a whole group of Rishonim, including Rashi over here, suggest that it wasn't clear whether this was a statement from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi or from Rav Yehuda. So he hedged his bet and he quoted it from Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is somewhere in between Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rav Yehuda. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat. Elsewhere, Masechet Brachos, he rejects that pshat. Some say that no, it's the fact that he used the terminology stav kafel, even though that terminology stav was no longer in use. That word was not a popular word to use anymore. Language changes over time. People know there are certain words that people use. If you try to read a newspaper from 100 years ago in America, you read the New York Times, you know, you go to a museum or something, they have clippings of the New York Times, and you read the stories. There are just a lot of words that we don't don't use anymore. Words that they would use back then, they wrote, stav was not a word they would use anymore. Itztava was the way they would describe it. And the fact that he used the word stav shows that he was so careful to say it exactly like the tradition. I think in Brisk they say that they still say the same shiurim with the same exact words that the Briska Rav used to say the shiurim. They just mamish the same shiur. Like every word is exactly the same. They keep the traditions. Okay, I'm sure they're mechadish also, but some of the shiurim they say exactly from the Briska Rav. Kari le Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said about this. He applied the following pasuk. Ami ba'atzu yishol umaklo yagadlo kolamekalo magadlo. He said about him that you were asking for advice. Rav Safra was asking for advice. What should I do? So he listens to the one who was more makel. He says, "Oh, I got to trust Rav Huna that really you're allowed to be mevare this wherever you are." He looks for Eitza and he just goes with whoever was more makel of the two opinions. So we're not gonna have. I'm gonna have to leave early, but a couple of quick points. When you get rid of Shemitah produce, so the Mishnah says, the Gemara over here dashes from the Pasuk, that's the next story in the Gemara, actually. Let's see the story in the Gemara, and we'll close with that. Rabbi Lai cuts kafniyasa de Shvius. Rabbi Lazar cut down palm trees of Shemitah. How is he allowed to do that? The halacha is you have to eat Shemitah fruits. You're not allowed to destroy Shemitah fruits. And if you say, well, that's only if you want the fruits, even when something is just not yet fully ripened as a fruit, it's not yet fully grown, it already has a din of a pri, and it already should have a din that you're not allowed to cut it down, you're not allowed to destroy peros of Shemitah. So how is he allowed to do it even before the fruits were fully ripened? Rav Nachman damak Rabbi Yossi. Rav Nachman must hold like the other sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Titzan Rabbi Yossi amr smadar osur mepnei shu peri upligi rabbanan alai. That Rabbi Yossi holds that even in a very early stage, it's usher because it's a pre, but the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan hold that once it's that even when it's in its earliest stage, it's not yet considered a pre, and therefore is not yet subject to the isser of destroying peros of Shemitah. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with this issue of destroying peros of Shemitah, when you're allowed to do it, how to get rid of peros of Shemitah, is eating it the only option, what about burning oil of Shemitah? Be'ez Hashem, we'll discuss tomorrow. I gotta run.